The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to the latest edition of the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net and the Freakin' Awesome Network. My name is Nikki Heyman, and around the table tonight, I've got a handful of people who are willing to discuss things along with my participation in this past Monday night's Raw. So let's start with the man who's had to run the show in my prolonged absence, Jason Block.
Holy smoke, even my legal eagle brain has spun this week. I don't think it's recovered yet. And from what I hear, it's going to get worse. No!
Of course it's going to get worse.
Oh, God.
So, if someone who probably doesn't know a whole lot about American law is all the way on the other side of the planet, bad news, Beeman.
I know much about American law. I just know you guys are fucked.
You get it.
Yeah. I realize that's a red state, blue state statement, but he's right, you know.
Yes, he is. Okay.
So next we go to our numbers, guys. Let me start with the one that got me up and running tonight, VRM.
Son of a... what is it with this damn thing? Even when there's no ponies anywhere near, it somehow fritzes out.
I...
My dad!
Josh!
That was like derpy man.
Well, fuck me, silly. Call me Sally. BRM, for once, I did not do it. The muffins are at bay. I repeat, the muffins are at bay.
In other words, Waters did it.
Yeah, yes. He's not here. It's his
what
fault.
Do you expect from a pony boy?
Yeah.
Let me see what else is going on back here and over the other side of the server. Ah, shit!
You have got to be freaking kidding me.
Right now, Jim Williams is listening somewhere saying, you should all burn in hell.
No, we miss you, Jim. We miss you,
Jim,
buddy.
We want you back on the show sooner than later.
Yes, we know you're close, and we know you're getting better, so come on.
So, okay. Well, hopefully things will hold together so we can actually get through this edition. So, I'm going to start with, just so Jason can gather his thoughts and his legalese and his financial numbers. I was at Raw Monday night. I was graciously offered a skybox seat. Now, everybody here is going to go, ooh, awesome.
Ah, ting ting, walla walla, bing bang.
So, okay. Nobody in front of me? Awesome. No drunken idiots around me? Awesome. Separate concession stand? Decent. I still had to pay for my food. Personal bathroom? Awesome.
Hell yeah, that works.
Your own personal ring announcer?
No, unfortunately. Although Daydream and Dan Reynolds was with me.
How's Daddy doing?
Daddy's holding up.
Yeah.
Daddy's holding up. But skyboxes that are set higher than the lighting rig? Not awesome.
Yeah. Ooh, that's not so much. No.
Yeah, that's the suites of people that don't really care territory.
Exactly. So the gentleman who got me these seats is somebody who deals in tickets for a living. And he doesn't know anything about wrestling. So we had to listen to all of his bad jokes as the show was going on, including at the beginning when Cena cross chant started, and I kept yelling, "He's not here." And he misheard it as Xena, so he would yell Hercules was better.
That's the sound of the
Come on.
Oh, no. Stapway, it got worse.
Jesus, no.
The arm wrestling segment, I have never heard so many jokes about Sylvester Stallone and Over the Top.
Over the top, Dad! Over the top!
So, yeah. Now, this was a go-home show. This should have been a really good show. It did have one very, very, very amazing moment that that TV did not capture.
Really? Okay.
Well, you guys saw it, and you kind of heard it. But I wish you could have heard it the way I heard it.
Okay.
Enzo and Cass have their recent little beef with the club.
Oh, yes, yes.
And the club managed to somehow short out the custom microphones. So Enzo just goes right into his shtick, and the entire arena is singing along with him.
Yeah, we heard that. Yeah. We came through.
Yeah, but the thing was that because we had the floor mics.
Bingo. Since you guys had the floor mics, you still heard Enzo and Cass. Everybody else was doing it off his pantomime.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So yeah, that was the one thing that it was like this affected it a whole lot better if they cut the floor mics.
Seriously, because in the arena, in the skybox, just over the 100 section, oh my lord! And yes, I was singing along too.
And you definitely can't teach
that.
No, you can't.
They have hit the New Age Outlaws level of, oh my god, everybody knows the words.
Well, I mean, it's just like the New Age Outlaws. I mean, there was a show, apparently there was a Raw where somebody showed up with a sign with the entire New Age Outlaws intro on it.
I remember it.
I'm waiting to see that for Enzo and Cass. So, anyway, you know, that was the absolute positive highlight of the show.
Go ahead.
Also, I found out the secret of the cruiserweight match setup.
Oh, yeah, do tell. I'm very interested.
Okay. Contrary to what we have previously believed, they do not restring ropes.
Oh,
really?
All they do is they take some purple cloth and wrap it around all the ropes. They do replace the mat. That gets switched out pretty quickly. But there is no way in the course of 5 to 7 minutes that you can restring a full set of ropes
and know that they're safe.
And tighten it down and know they're safe. But since they did for Superstars, they opened with a six-man tag cruiserweight match. So I could see that our non-wrestling friend could be bored out of his mind and try to, and since he couldn't figure out who was who because he's blind as a bat. So he didn't know Sin Cara from Lince Dorado. I could understand that he wouldn't know Tony Nese and Drew Gulak and who was their third?
You said Superstar?
Gulak, Nese, Daivari?
Yeah, I'm sorry. And Arya Daivari, who is local. Mm-hmm. So there was a smatter of cheers for him. And, of course, this guy doesn't know any of these guys from Adam or Eve. So, anyway. But that's how they do it so quickly. The course of the show... You're right. There was another highlight, Jason. The list is missing.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Chris Jericho You know, everyone was shitting on this. I'm sorry. It was hilarious. Chris Jericho was fucking hilarious as the petulant child going, I'm not going to go on unless we have the list. And if we don't have the list, I don't go on. And Kevin Owens goes, would you fucking just stop and just get on the same page? And, of course, you know, they're all setting up for the – I mean, put it to you this way. Helen Keller can see where this is going.
Oh, absolutely. The, you know, it just one of those beautiful things, though, where, you know, Jericho's bitching about the list. Kevin Owens came out. I don't know if this came through the television, but everybody started chanting at Owens, where's the list? Where's the list?
Yes, that came through. Where's the list? Where's the list? Yes, it was a huge, huge chant, huge where's the list chant. Absolutely, here we're huge. Where's the list?
So, you know, over the course of the show, of course, he goes looking for it because Seth Rollins isn't going to give it to him, even though here's another little kid with it hidden behind his back.
He didn't have it behind his back. I didn't see it behind his back.
Have it in your left hand. I don't know what you're talking about, Chris. I don't have the list.
Right.
No. So, you know, this is just. They're having fun. That's what's making the shows work, guys. They're having fun.
Yep.
Michael.
So, yeah, we go over the course of this. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, but the best part about this was how Chris Jericho got the list back.
Oh, good God.
And this was beautiful because, you know, he's going through backstage trying to find the list. Of course, none of the guys have it. Until stagehand points him in the right direction, and the list is in the hands of Braun Strowman.
And you that when he sees where it is, he's like, oh, God.
You just instantly knew that Jericho was hiding a Snickers somewhere. It's like, oh, damn.
a tweet apparently went out and said, Jericho, it's not worth it.
it's like new pants on the list. New pants.
And at the end of the segment, I yelled across the arena, he lived!
It was a good segment, don't get me wrong, but I don't know. It was funny for what it was. It's like, I'll give you the list back as long as you put Sami Zayn on the list. It's like, he's on page 4.
That was the best line of it. It's like, he's on page 4.
4 of 1,004? Armbar. Anyway.
And of course you said, you gotta say please.
Again! These guys are having too much fun.
And the thing is, the thing was that Strowman didn't change character. He was the big badass. But in the way, he was flipped to become doofus badass for a second.
Yes. That's how you do doofus badass. Not like the way what they've been trying to do with Roman forever. So we had all this wonderful stuff through the night and a wonderful main event. Some of the other things I'm going to backtrack over. Yes, I'm sort of recapping, but some of this stuff is kind of important. We had 2 women's segments and 0 wrestling. I am somewhat offended, but the Bayley stuff I didn't know because I couldn't hear Michael Cole and Company. I'm not sure which, you know, if that was better or worse. So, of course, we have a non-wrestling fan in the skybox.
Oh, boy.
Who was doing stupid shit like talking about over the top during the Dana Brooke Bailey arm wrestling match. I forget what he was doing during the Charlotte and Sasha Banks segment, which Foley stole from those chicks.
Absolutely. And anyone who's crapping on Foley's promo, you know, get a life.
Well, now, there's a valid point to this. Foley, you know, Foley was hemming and hawing and, you know, got the permission from Stephanie. And I think it was only, you know, and maybe only now it was sinking in that, oh my God, I'm putting 2 women's lives at risk. Why didn't Foley do this 2 weeks ago, though, is probably the better question I put out there, Shane?
I don't know. I'm with some people that, yeah, it made Foley sound like he was killing Hell in a Cell when he's the man that made Hell in a Cell what it is. I mean, it's a bit, it was a bit insane, but yeah, I have to agree. It's like, man, you're only thinking about this now. I guess that tooth got lodged a bit more further.
Well, you know, bad joke is bad. You know, his bell's been rung so many times, he's only just figuring that out. But, you know, he took that entire segment away from Charlotte and Sasha because they were just saying the same things they've been saying for the last 2 weeks. I'm the queen. No, I'm the boss. You know, I'll be champion. No, I'll be champion. No, I'll be champion. Will you two just shut up and get on with it?
I actually had posted a thing that Sasha Banks did in an interview. I wish she had said the stuff she said in that interview live on Raw, because I can guarantee you that would have put over the both her and Charlotte for that segment.
Do you want to read the quote?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Hang on 1 second. Oh, I just got to remember where I put the bastard of a thing.
It was live research, ladies and gentlemen.
It was in the NXT panel. I actually have it here, I believe.
Yes, that's right. I put it in the thread, didn't I? Yes,
you did. And just let me... Yeah, here it is. And it is the Still Real to Us podcast. And
yes.
And here it is, and I'll...
Yeah, I found it.
Go ahead.
All right. And Sasha's got really big with this and said, we say things like women's wrestling and women's revolution in brackets. I hope one day it's not a good women's match. I don't want the women's wrestling part. I just want to be equal to my partners. Why can't we be treated equal? I think once we get a women's main event at a pay-per-view and you drop women's wrestling, that will prove we are on the same level. A couple of years ago, we were seen as the popcorn match or the bathroom break for the fans, and that's not the case anymore.
Amen.
Agreed. Now, yeah, you're right. She should have said that and explained to Foley, hey, you know, first of all, we're doing this willingly. We've seen what you've been through, but this is one of the things we have to do to get people to just talk about it as a match. And I hadn't thought of it that way, to be honest. So thank you, Sasha.
Yeah, well, it's the truth, because, like, let's think about it. Like, we haven't really taken women's wrestling that seriously since Trish and Lita, and here are these women that are getting in there and actually putting on better matches than half the guys. So I said this in private. I'll say this publicly. Vince, if you have the balls, stop trying to push Paul's ideas aside. Let Sasha and Charlotte main event Hell in a Cell, and I guarantee you not only will that pay-per-view sell out, I will guarantee you they will put on a better match than your supposed main event of Seth Rollins and versus Kevin Owens. Bet you any money.
Well, I'm looking forward to both, but that's beside the point.
That's the argument backstage right now, and apparently Triple H is pissed because Vince keeps undermining him and saying, no, we're going to do this for the main event, when Triple H wants Charlotte versus Sasha.
Well, then there was the karmic revenge. Unwritten law in wrestling. You cannot and do not boo a Henning in Minnesota. Period.
That's my family. No. Bad.
So, Curtis Axel was not going to get booed. But his match with Bo Dallas got the wrong kind of heat. It was more just defeated sighs than booing Bo Dallas, but that's just me. That's what it sounded like in the arena. Now, the one, you know, speaking of Vince trying to force something, Brock Lesnar's from Minnesota, or he's from one of the Dakotas. Anyway, he's considered a hometown guy. My dear Uncle Paul tried and tried and tried, but when you have two or three iterations of the guy's t-shirt at the merch stands, and it probably sold out, you're not going to get Lesnar booed. In fact, we got a Goldberg sucks chant. That, I know, came through.
Yeah.
So at this point, when, you know, apparently Vince flipped his shit backstage and just played Lesnar's music to get Paulie out of there, while in his head he's thinking,
it's about time you did something right. Now! Ooh, nothing! Don't give me an ooh! I'll tell you an ooh!
Seriously, VRM, Paulie tried every trick that I could think of, short of digging into, you know, dissing the sports teams.
Yeah. But the only thing he didn't was the cheap heat, which right now the Vikings, you really can't get too much cheap heat on the Vikings. They're 5-1.
Right.
You could have done it for the Twins, maybe.
That's true. Twins didn't
make it. Twins, the Timberwolves, the Wild. But then again, that's hockey. You don't touch hockey.
Well, and I'm just saying, it's
no,
just
you touch the North, you touch the Stars. That's what you do.
Mm. Yeah. So, but it just wasn't happening. The closest he got was a cross chant.
I will tell you, it was a very rare miss by Heyman and Lesnar, and this is the one time where it felt like Paulie was forcing things. And eventually we got the news later in the week that Survivor Series is going to have Lesnar Goldberg.
Okay, well, and that was the other thing that got booed. They said, oh yeah, Goldberg will be here next week.
Yes, I hate when they do that. They do that it's sort of like WCW bait and switch bullshit. It feels
yeah,
like
and
that.
Well, and go ahead, Shane.
No, I was going to say, you go.
Which, you know, I was kind of hoping we'd get both. I knew that we weren't going to have Goldberg Lesnar at Hell in a Cell. It was too soon. But let's go ahead and talk about it for Survivor Series. Are you worried it's going to overshadow your little bitty B pay-per-view, huh? Just saying. I would have loved to have both of them in the building, because I think what will really have saved that segment is they would have gotten a pop either way. And it doesn't matter who we would be chanting for. If Goldberg came running in out of the crowd and speared the fuck out of Lesnar or Heyman.
I think that's what people would have been worried about, though, too, is the fact that it pretty much would have been going like pretty much back to WrestleMania 20 moments. It's like, oh, he goes to spear Heyman. Oh, no, he missed and hit the referee. Oh, shit.
Well, since we didn't have a referee in the ring, this is what I'm, you know, hoping for. And Stone Cold Steve Austin better be 3,000 miles away from this match.
He will be.
This was a moment where I think even someone could have called up bloody Kevin Nash and he would have been like, oh, fuck that. It's like, I ain't going anywhere near this.
Well, I don't know, man. They did the special guest referee thing last time, and if my phone rang, I'd probably talk to him about it. I'd probably talk him out of it, unless they really had the money to. I mean, you throw enough money my way, up to just about anything. I got a pair of black pants. You can find a referee shirt in my size.
Okay.
Dude, there's not a drug strong enough in the world that's going to get me to go there and do that match.
So, anyway, my horrible Kevin Nash impression aside, oh, that was the other thing I needed to tell you guys. The new roster book is out.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
And it lists what brand everybody is on. However, it is already dated because Heath Slater is still unsigned.
Wow.
And the Dudleys are in there, and so is Del Rio. But this book is thorough. It is so thorough, they even include Francesca II and Mitch the Plant. In fact, Mitch is featured on Dean Ambrose's page. I'm proud of them. I am so proud of them.
The saddest part of all that, ladies and gentlemen, is the fact that Dean Ambrose is on SmackDown and Mitch is on Raw. There you go.
Did they brand Mitch? I forget. I'll have to look into it. I don't have it handy, otherwise I'd look. So we had a bonus match. We had they gave us a test match of Roman Reigns versus Rusev. Since all you guys got to see was talk, we actually got to see him wrestle a match. It wasn't a bad match, but these two do not have great chemistry. And it's the fact that you got two hosses knocking heads, so neither are really, you know, selling away the power offense. So any thoughts of what could be done in the way this match is going to be set up to fix that? I mean, at least they can do a little bit of garbage stuff since they're going to be in a cell for the United States title.
They've got to show more aggression for this. I've been saying this for months now, and I'm starting to sound like a broken goddamn record, and I hate doing that. But they have to show more aggressions with Reigns. None of this friggin' them trying to make him Rocky 2.0 bullshit. They have to make him just be this badass, whipping the crap out of him, not making these corny little jokes of, hey, I hope you had more of a performance with your wife last night. Like, come on, man. Just kick the crap out of Rusev like we all want you to and shut up.
I would even settle for just a press remark and then murder. I like his sarcasm.
Or go back to your Shield days of like spearing the guy and go, yeah, believe that.
Yeah, I admit, you know, one of the best moments with him during the Shield was when they had the, I think this was the contract signing for Shield versus Evolution, and they had the table and the really big chairs, the announcer table chairs. Mm-hmm. And while Rollins and Ambrose are yelling at Evolution, Reigns is behind him just throwing the chairs out. No fucks given. Chairs thrown out. No fucks given. Chairs thrown out. So, you know, I want that Reigns. Can I have that one? Actually, I'll take any version, but sadly, no recruiting due to time constraints and a little bit of financial constraints. Let's just say that parking was cheaper after 4 o'clock. But I enjoyed being at the show, and the perks of a skybox are awesome, but I'm not going to have any decent pictures. Not even a good picture of TJ Perkins' entrance.
By the way, how was that live? Just, you know,
loved it. I love it. Mm-hmm. Me and Dan were sitting there giggling like 8-year-olds over it. And of course it was...
It is a direct rip. It's a fucking direct rip.
Actually, you can go look up the mashup playing with Riley. Was it playing with Wiley?
Yeah. Or Dr. Wowie, as I know him.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I had a good time. It wasn't the best of Raws. But me and Dan enjoyed ourselves. Our non-wrestling fan was still baffled that we actually watched this shit. And I have an updated roster book. Now that's so that's the good news. Jason?
Josh, my man.
Yes?
Oh boy. Now usually we talk about the fact that this is supposedly contractual obligation time to talk about TNA.
Contractual my ass this time.
Yeah, contract being the operative word here today.
Because I will say this, TNA is in deep shit.
Yeah.
Before we get into the fun of the hearing, We've got another lawsuit.
What's that, number 7? What are we on?
I think this is number 6. This is number 6. And it is a financial company, namely one Bank Direct Capital. Yeah. Back on September 29th, Bank Direct Capital Finance filed a lawsuit against TNA in Cook County, Illinois. I have not, by the way, this is the same docket search, I assume, as the Punk Amon trial, but I don't see any record of this on their website.
Okay.
Bank Direct is suing for $207,612.29 plus legal fees, interest, and late charges. A little over a year ago, back in November 30th, Bank Direct entered an agreement with TNA to pay TNA $400,000 so they could pay insurance premiums. TNA agreed to make 10 monthly payments of $41,000, and they were making the payments. As of September 29th, TNA had paid off almost half of the amount, but there was still $207,000 behind.
There's no bottom. Mm-hmm. It just keeps getting deeper and deeper. Now, granted, the grand total of the lawsuits at this point only figure out to just under $2 million.
However, that's a very interesting number, because that's a number that's involved with all the loans that pretty much Billy Corgan put in. Okay.
Right. And just between that, these guys, there's a travel agency that's suing them. I'm surprised that the wrestlers don't have a class action going right now.
Yeah, American Express is suing them.
Yeah, they're the ones with about the travel money. Mm-hmm. I think.
Yes, that is correct. They about $250,000 they owe to them.
They have They have a lien filed against them by the state of Tennessee for back taxes.
That's the one that's really going to hurt.
Yeah.
That's the one that's going to hurt because Corgan came prepared for his thing.
He's no dummy in this. He's for real. This isn't bullshit to him.
No, but God's TNA's lawyers?
Yikes. Just yikes.
Yeah, their defense was, hey, we're good people, really.
And well, a little bit of, hey, his contract's null and void because we did things illegally.
Yeah, so, hey, we're a good company.
Wrong! Wrong, 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 wrong!
And yes, we're going to pay him back all the money that he loaned us.
Bullshit.
We intend on paying back all the money he loaned us.
Bullshit.
Sorry, we don't want to give him a goddamn cent.
The fact that they have emails saying we don't want Billy involved for all intents and purposes, and the fact that they have misrepresented themselves to Corgan, they lied to him about WWE.
They've gone behind his back regarding WWE and several other things like Fight Networks, money dump, the shopping by WWE, shopping by other companies.
Right. So, I need to look to my legal eagles here. That means you, Jason.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Okay, first of all, after listening to TNA's testimony, which I'm sitting here reading while I'm on set and trying not to laugh out loud.
Mm-hmm.
How far, and this pun is fully intended, how far up Schitt's Creek is TNA at this point?
Excuse me. Does the word without a paddle mean anything to you? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because here is, now, by the way, I have put in a request for an interview with a guy by the name of Nate Rao, who is covering this for the Tennessean. Okay.
Ooh.
Okay. Ooh, local, you know, local reporter. I like this.
Yes. I have put in a request for an interview. So if we can get him, I'll get him and I'll do a little quick bit for an extra. And I would love for you to, you know, let's hope we can get that. Okay.
Okay. So, I might not be available to be in on it, but yes, if you get this, tell me.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. Absolutely. Okay. So what happens is, so here is the big deal. We had a whole big Michigas on the 26th. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so here is what happened. I'm going to try to explain it. And here's what happens next. Okay. Right. So that Corgan staved off the creditors and gave TNA the cash flow to pay for productions twice in 2016. Okay.
Yes.
And win the loan deal, he rose to title of president, but he wasn't given control. Here is the key. Loan number three, okay, he mm-hmm. would gain her board of directors voting rights, which is 92.5% control, if the company became insolvent.
His lawyer
argued that TNA is insolvent and fails the cash flow test because it can't pay its bills. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The two legal questions in front of Chancellor Ellen Hobbs Lyle, who is considering whether to grant a temporary injunction that would effectively grant control of TNA to Corgan.
Mm-hmm.
And the first is whether such a loan agreement is legal under Tennessee law. The second, whether the TNA is insolvent. Okay. And that is going to happen on Monday. This is what's happening on Monday. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You are getting that hearing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also going to get that, but based on what you're hearing, Corgan's attorney was being asked how they were applying Tennessee law to the claims that they signed that the court is not seeing the same way they are. Okay. Corgan's loan has to be paid in full by Tuesday, the 1st, which is the day after the ruling. Now, the other big question is, and of course, this is also from PWI. Whether Corgan not only gets his $1.8 million back, but also the corporate transaction fee, which was 50% of its loan, so that's an additional $900,000. So he might get $2.7 million back. Anthem Media, the money mark, said that they're willing to repay the $1.8 million, but not the $900,000. Okay?
Okay.
Now, if Corgan doesn't get his injunction, this is what's going to happen. Okay?
Okay.
Anthem will pay Corgan off and he's gone. Okay?
Okay.
Anthem will take 85% of the control of the company, as Corgan's attorneys learned through the discovery. Aralux will take 10%. And then Dixie will get 5%. And Corgan's out of the picture. Okay?
Which is going to suck, because he's the only one who actually wants to do something and knows how to do something about all this.
Right.
Okay. I don't have a whole lot of trust in Anthem. No offense.
Right.
If anything, Anthem is the question mark in the ownership that we really don't know too much about.
Right. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's sad. Somebody pointed this out to me. It's sad that when in the middle of all this trial, the neo-Nazis guys have the moral high ground.
Neo-Nazis.
Oh, God.
Who?
The Harris brothers.
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't know they were neo-Nazis, but okay.
Well, let's just say that there's some editing that needed to be done with one of them running around with an SS tattoo on his chest.
Whoops. Yipe. Okay. Yeah. But so here's the thing. Depending on what happens, either Corgan gets 92.5% and Dixie gets 7, or Anthem gets 85, Corgan gets Aralux gets 10, and Dixie gets 5. So in other words, no matter what happens, Dixie is a minority owner.
From what I understand, I don't think you're quite right. Because right now it's like 5% owned by Anthem, 2.5% owned by Aerolux. Dixie owns the rest.
Right, but if the depending on what happens with the injunction and what happens with the loans,
yeah,
that, the script might get flipped on her.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, you know, I don't care how much she owns.
Yeah.
I've never seen that much dirty laundry in my college career.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I mean, put it to you this way. You read the emails. I mean, this is the WikiLeaks of TNA. I mean, no disrespect. I mean, I get a little red state, blue state here, but still.
No. Dixie Clinton's of Dixie Clinton. How about that? My point is made.
Wow.
What?
My point is made. I don't even have to finish that sentence.
Oh, wow. Because she's been trying to fuck, you know, what's his face, over. Okay.
Yeah, Corgan, she's been doing everything she can to keep Corgan out of the picture. Corgan's the only one who wants to fix everything. The wrestlers dig Corgan and would work for him in a heartbeat. So if Dixie ends up running the show again, they're all going to walk.
Yeah.
So
for guys who have no place to go, like Bram.
And Abyss.
Yeah.
Although
hang on. I wouldn't go that far. You reckon Vince wouldn't take Abyss? I mean, you could put him and Kane in a tag match, you know, tag team together, and hello.
No, I would watch that. I'm just thinking, you know, I'm surprised TNA wrestlers have not gotten together and just filed a class action lawsuit over breach of contract for non-payment for their performances.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what the whole final deletion was supposed to be. This is like, this is our class action. Delete Dixie Carter. Delete.
Maybe that's why it got postponed.
Well, no. They actually had a Halloween deletion at the Arts Comp this week.
Oh God, that was hilarious. Poor Gregory Helms.
Yeah, a random hurricane is random.
Mm-hmm.
A wild hurricane. Appears.
Wild hurricane appears. He has no backup. Hurricane's fucked.
and then of course Senior Benjamin tasers the Donald Trump lookalike, and Matt Hardy deletes Hillary Clinton. So I thought that was pretty funny. Okay. And of course, there's supposedly going to be total nonstop deletion, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
That got postponed.
Okay. But the thing is that right now, first of all, everyone is at the moment, everyone is just, because, you know, no matter who gets control of all this,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know as well as I do that there is somebody waiting in the background. Button push, please. Ready to just swoop in at the moment's notice.
And pick it up for pennies on the dollar.
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
Bingo. There you go.
Yep.
Excuse me. I will say this, and I will predict this right now. By the middle of 2017, TNA will be no more. If that. Okay.
Yeah.
And the only reason it's going to take this long is because it's going to take that long for all the legal bullshit to go through.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because I don't expect them to produce any more episodes this year.
Yeah. Here's the question. When does TNA file? And is it 7 or 11?
They need to file 7. If they file 11, then, you know, Vince and company are going to go talk to Anthem about the library and work something out like the ECW deal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Supposedly, okay, they are taping January 5th to January 10th, which would get them to WrestleMania weekend. Okay.
And right now, I'm not feeling that.
I smell something. Bullshit.
You don't think that's going to go down?
No. All the legal wrangling and the money's involved in trying to get this all this shit settled. They don't have any money right now. Final deletion was delayed because they can't afford it. They keep saying it's logistics. Yeah, logistics is spelled M-O-N-E-Y. I know better. They can't afford to put on a show right now, and the Harris Brothers is not going to work for free anymore. And the wrestlers shouldn't be working for free either.
No.
And there's still people out there that are saying, oh, but TNA needs to survive. Horseshit. These guys need to be paid. Lucha Underground, NJPW, PWG. There are enough places right now that are doing profitable enough business to say, hey, you used to be on TV. We'll pay you on time if you'll work for us.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of good indie places that will do it, and also New Japan, etc.
Yeah.
The thing is that this reminds me of old Yeller. You got to put the thing out of its misery, and I don't want it to be, but there. I mean, once the lawsuits happened, you knew it was over. Look, your dear Uncle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
When the lawsuits happened, holy crud! Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I was just, it blew up. I'm like, that was a tac nuke on TNA. They're not going to recover from this. And if they do, they're like Twinkies, cockroaches, and Dean Ambrose. They survived.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. Oh, man. But believe me, if things go batshit crazy, we'll be covering this. I mean, it's just, it's nuts. It's really nuts. Because if they force Corgan out, the morale, you said the morale will be zero.
Exactly, because all of the stuff that has come out, all the emails that have come out has shown how much Dixie has lied to talent, how much she has lied to lenders, how much she's lied to Corgan. Nobody's going to work for her.
Yeah. And it couldn't happen to a nicer woman. Bless her heart.
So, yeah. No. You know, people are saying that she is worse than Ian Rotten. They pulled up two or three other names. I know the thread on the fan boards is like 90-something pages.
The Death Watch. It's at 88 right now.
Okay. I haven't had a chance to look at it today because I just before the podcast, I literally just got home. And haven't had much internet access. So, yeah, Monday's going to be really, really interesting. And so what I'm going to say is, gentlemen, I realize that there will be another wrestling show going on, but be on standby.
Yeah. There might be an emergency.
Okay.
And thank God I'm off that day.
I'm glad I'm off too, but this place is going to be a mess. There's some renovations going on, and they're going to destroy my bathroom. But not relevant to the show. So while TNA is stuck in court trying to figure out how they're going to pay anybody anything, WWE has some beautiful numbers to show off.
Oh, their numbers are kick ass. May I?
Mm-hmm.
Their
Please.
Numbers are offers. Okay. Their quarter and third quarter numbers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They've got 164.2 million revenue, okay? Mm-hmm. Total revenue to date is up 8% to 534 million, okay?
Only five.
Yeah. WWE Network has got 1.46 million average paid subscribers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Try this. Their net promoter score ranked second among major U.S. OTT, that's probably streaming services.
That's over the top, Dad.
Over the top. Okay. Behind only Netflix.
Okay. Wow.
All right. You know, excuse me, that deserves this.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're higher than Netflix and chill, you're doing something right.
Okay.
Yeah. Hulu. Yeah. By the way, number three and four are Hulu and MLB TV, which of course MLB Advanced Media is
the backbone of the network
of WWE Network. Yeah.
Yeah. they are targeting for 2017 record subscriber growth, record revenue, and a target OIBDA, which is, hold on a second, I'm just
getting operating that. Income before
OIBDA is operating before depreciation and amortization of $100 million and operating income of $70 million. Okay. So they are kicking ass. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't even put in their pay-per-view numbers anymore.
Right. Okay. And I think they're not even putting in the pay-per-view numbers because those are actually bundled into the network numbers.
Mm-hmm. Well, try this. The U.S. subscriber base is over 1 million now, 1.071.
Nice.
The international subscriber base is 373,000. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The global subscriber base has measured by a year-to-year. They included 5 countries, including Germany and Japan. Okay. 17% increase from September 30th, 2015. Okay. 82 live events. Revenues increased 10% due to the staging of 5 international events. It's their numbers are, they're really kicking behind right now in the numbers.
Yeah. Like I said, it's because, you know, first of all, you got guys. The guys are having fun. The evil boss, Dr. Levesque, is slowly, slowly taking over the reins from Vince. And still is trying to show the old man that there's still some new tricks in this business. They have a killer developmental system. They've got a few Japanese wrestlers on their list that they're looking to sign. Developmental has a the correct mix of indie darlings and new talent that is going to continue to fuel the main rosters.
Some other interesting, now try this on for size. When the network launched 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago now, okay, they have 4 times the amount of content on the network that they had when they launched 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Licensing was down a bit due to a lower royalty rate for the new video game and a slower sale of toys. Okay. Let's see. Vince was asked about the, he said he would always consider a sale, but he wants to control his own destiny. And he said, if there was a merger or deal that would allow to continue to control his WWE business, would it be something he would do? He said, we're open for business. They're trying to work on the China market, which is the last country that they've launched to launch the WWE network.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Talking about the NBC Universal relationship. They're both happy with the last 2 years. Let's see some other stuff. No questions about TNA. And they also said they asked about their future with MLB because of all that stuff. So you know, so they're doing great. They're doing freaking awesome. It's a total 180 from TNA.
It is.
You know.
And that's the black and white of all of this. You know, we have stated many, many times on this show that we do not want to see people fail. Mm-hmm. Dixie Carter is trying to fail. And even then, she's failing to fail. Seriously. Just off of those emails, and then, you know, we got the contract, you know, the whole contract deal. Is this even legal in Tennessee? Well, you must have done something illegal. You know, there's all the finger pointing and all the lawsuits. You know, WWE is doing it right. TNA has been doing it wrong and have been doing it wrong for so long that now that it's all in front of us. Go ahead.
Yeah, ever since that January 4, 2010 show.
Pretty much.
That horrible decision.
To go live, not announce, bring out big names with no introduction, changing the ring back, and giving Hogan creative control.
Yeah.
The same night that Bret Hart returns to the WWE as well.
Which you were there for, right, Nikki? I believe.
The same night of the reconciliation, which me and Stat, you were there, Stat Boy, weren't you?
Yeah, we were together.
Yeah,
you, me, and DJ.
Yeah, DJ scored awesome tickets.
He played the lottery at the Nutter Center, and he won.
Yeah. He survived ticket roulette.
Mm-hmm.
But we were too busy watching Sean and Brett shake hands. While TNA was trying to figure out how the hell they were supposed to shoot a bright red domed cage that nobody could get out of.
Yes.
That re-debuting Jeff Hardy had a hard time climbing up.
Because he was stoned out of his mind. You didn't hear that.
You're not wrong,
But I ain't wrong.
With the personalities in his head, I'm sure he didn't hear it either.
I'm sure one of them heard it, but he'll be overruled.
Thank you, Witchweed. Yes.
So, yeah.
And if you didn't have any more reason to watch WWE, you got the super kick always heard around the world with James Ellsworth. That's enough said.
Okay, I got to bring this up. You know, the number threes are already complaining about Ellsworth, that he's apparently already worn out his welcome. I'm like, dude, really? They're like, he doesn't deserve to be, where he is on the roster, this, that, and the other thing. And I'm like, you know what? I would rather see Ellsworth in there just goofing around than having reiterations of tag matches and singles matches and handicap matches and iterations of AJ and Dean leading up to their pay-per-view. I like having him in the middle of all this. He is Colin Delaney done right.
Agreed.
So let me see if this works.
This show is awful.
Terrible.
Disgusting.
See you next week.
Of course.
Oh, wow. There's your number threes.
Yep, that is my... With special thanks to Chris Waters, get well soon. I got to figure out where I put it. Got to get it on the soundboard. But yeah, that is my new number three button. Oh, shut up, computer. So anyway, I love the goofiness that is Ellsworth. I love his interactions with Dean. I love the fact that he might eventually screw Dean.
He already did screw Dean.
Well, he did on Tuesday for sure, but he's even like, I'm sorry.
All I heard when that super kick was done to AJ Styles was, Dean's gonna kill you, Dean's gonna...
And come on, who doesn't cheer for no chin music?
Yes, no chin music indeed. But I gotta tell you, as I said to you before, AJ Styles in the past 10 months has done more for his career than his entire run in TNA.
Yes.
I mean, what more can you say? I want to hand him every fake trophy we have here for him.
Yes.
Seriously. I really do.
I agree. He deserves a lot. He deserves everything that he's gotten so far. And it's to the point, Daydreamer Dan told me that he's typed heel AJ is best AJ on his phone so many times that it comes up as a sentence.
Wow.
So, you know, digging what's going on with SmackDown. Raw needs to get their act a little bit together, although admittedly, you know, this was a go-home show, but maybe they're just resting everybody because this pay-per-view is going to hurt.
Oh, you bet.
This pay-per-view is going to hurt a lot. In fact, it's going to hurt somebody right now. Oh, Stat Boy!
Yes?
Pick'ems!
Yes. All right. Got to pull up one thing real quick because one of the matches I'm going to be doing a little bit strangely, but nothing too crazy. Okay, got it ready.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is our favorite part of the show, where we get to watch poor Stat Boy go crazy. If he's not already there.
I'm at Walmart. Of course, I'm going crazy. Why, yada.
Yeah.
All right. Today, there are 8 matches. 10 points, 11 with wild card. So, it's a pretty stacked pay-per-view. And we start with the pre-show match, which is going to be the little bit of a strange one because I'm only doing 1 point. I'm not dealing with the pretty lights here.
Mm-hmm.
We have Cedric Alexander, Lindsay Dorito, that goddamn Huchador. Wait a minute. Sorry.
Stop that.
My Chikara roots are still showing.
Yeah, I can see that.
Lindsay Dorado and Sin Cara facing off against Tony Nese, Drew Gulak. Oops, did I do it again?
Seriously? He was one of the ants?
Yeah, he was in the colony for quite some time. He's no longer soldiering, though, because he's here.
Yes.
And the brother of the guy who managed...
Stop that.
Hey, show some respect, man. He was a former Cruiserweight champion, goddammit.
He's from Minnesota, man.
Yeah. And Arya Daivari. 1 point, who wins?
The fans.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
This was a test match. This was a test match on Superstars, and the Faces won that one. So nobody watches Superstars. Yeah, I'm going to stick with the Faces on this one. Dorado, Sin Cara, and Cedric
the Alexander. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll go with the Faces on this one.
Okay.
I'll take the heels.
Sure, whatever. Pick the Faces as well. Shane?
No, I'll go with the heels because TJ Perkins is going to retain. So,
got to help. Okay. I don't know about that. We'll get there.
Inks for the advance warning. And now to the match. I'm like, why do I care? Bayley versus Dana Brooke. Who wins?
Momentum, Bayley.
It's got to be Bayley.
Of course it's got to be Bayley. Yep.
Of course it's got to be Bayley.
Excuse me.
Give me a second here. I've got to get this all cleaned up. Now to the first of the I'm going to scare all of you matches. If you know what I mean.
Yep.
Enzo Amore and Big Cass versus Luke Gallows and Carl the Machine Gun Anderson. 2 points. Who wins and who stares at the
pretty lights? practically momentum, the club and Enzo gets pinned.
Yeah, I hate to say it. I don't know who's pissed in Vince's Cheerios with Cass and Enzo, but yeah, the club.
Now the club needs.
Who are you picking to get pinned or Shane before we move on? Sorry, Ben.
Enzo.
Ed.
Yeah, if there's ever a time that the club needed a win after the goofy stuff with New Day fell kind of flat. After being run roughshod over by Cena, they need the win. I'm going to go with the club with Enzo getting pinned.
Okay, Jason?
Same thing. Club, because of what I think is going to happen later on, the club needs this win. Club wins, Enzo gets pinned.
And you guys are absolutely right. I hate to say, even though Enzo and Cass are amazing, to me anyway, they're great on the mic, and they're okay enough in the ring to where it's like they can get by.
Yeah, this is loss is not going to hurt them.
No, Gallows and Anderson not only need to win, they need to win convincingly. Otherwise, this is pretty much last stop before WWE has come to terms on the release of Luke Gallows and Conor Anderson. We wish them both the best in our future endeavors. Also, neither New Japan.
Exactly, right back to New Japan.
Yeah. And speaking of that other tag match, this is going to be that other two-pointer. New Day versus Cesaro and Sheamus. Who wins and who stares at the pretty list?
Title switch has to be done. The New Day, well, I love them. I think they're great, and I think they're going to be on for years and years. But they're boring right now. Boring as hell. Cesaro and Sheamus win. Big E gets pinned.
And Jason, I hate to be that guy, because I'm going to go the complete opposite direction. I have that very, very strange feeling that the New Day is not only going to win, they're going to win until Roadblock. The main reason I say Roadblock is that is their December pay-per-view. The big thing that puts them somewhere between 4 to 6 days beyond Demolition's record for longest reigning tag team champions in WWF/WWE's entire history. So, to be honest with you, I believe New Day is going to break it. So, New Day wins. Cesaro gets pinned because Sheamus decides to go, nah.
Hmm. No, I'm going to agree with
you. Wild card.
Go ahead.
Okay, go for it, Verm.
You got the right idea, but I'm going to call into reference something that happened about 12 years ago in October, where there were two guys that weren't exactly on the same page in a tag team match at a pay-per-view. And the two guys that weren't on the same page, and I think because the one guy walked out, they ended up winning. And you're right on, Sheamus is going to walk out and say, nah. But it's going to be after Kofi is down on the outside, Big E's there, Big E, neutralizer, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. So what's the wild card then on?
Sheamus walks out in the middle of the match.
Okay.
And they still win.
Sapboy, I'm going to agree with you. I really think that the reason they keep bringing up Demolition's record is because the New Day is going to break it.
Yeah.
This is their first interaction. Well, this will be the first title match interaction with the New Day and Cesaro and Sheamus. Mm-hmm. And I think them disagreeing with each other still has some legs.
Yeah.
And they need to do it a little bit more, and we'll get the title, you know, we'll get the title switch, you know, if it's going to switch. I'd rather they do it at Survivor Series.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. To be honest, I think they're finally going to break something.
So, New Day retains. Sheamus gets pinned. And not a wild card, but we're going to get that awesome shame chant. That we got.
Can we get a bell ring in there somewhere?
What do you mean?
Shame. Dong, dong, dong. Shame.
But
Game of Thronesy.
Good Game of Thrones reference.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't watch Game of Thrones, so that went right over my head.
Trust me, I don't watch it either, but I do get that reference. Mainly because the CGI in that scene is really bad.
So, yeah, I don't think it happens yet.
Okay, Shane?
Yeah, I'm going to go same avenue, but I'm not going to go... I'm not going to say it's because Sheamus walks out. I'm going to say Sheamus costs them the tag titles by bro kicking Cesaro.
Okay.
But that's not my wild card. It's coming.
Yeah.
But it'll be Cesaro getting pinned by Big E, probably.
Okay. And now to the Cruiserweight title match. TJ Perkins versus Brian Kendrick yet again. Who wins?
The Brian Kendrick. There are too many faces. Sorry, too many heels. Not enough face. Too many faces. Not enough heels. We need a heel champion, and the man with the plan is going to take the belt. Is the Brian Kendrick, and he's going to cheat too.
Hey, you.
It's not my wild card, though, by the way.
I'm with Jason. Kendrick's going to win. He's got a more interesting story to tell. We don't have a lot of heels in the Cruiserweight division. And don't get me wrong, I like TJ, but he needs some character refinement. He's got too much going on with his character. We got to get rid of the dab. We got to get rid of some of the other goofy shit. Stick to the video games, man. But yeah, I think Kendrick's going to win this one. He's got Jason's right. We don't have enough heels, and they keep featuring the faces. We keep seeing Rich Swann. You know, everybody's digging TJ. So if he loses, they're going to rally behind him, and the Brian Kendrick gets his thank you run. So when he does eventually drop it back to TJ, or it goes to Grand Metalik, or to, you know, whomever.
Rich Swann, maybe.
Maybe. Then Kendrick will retire. That's not my wild card, obviously, but...
Right. Oh, and by the way, remember I was talking about boring? TJ Perkins is Blandy McBlanderson. Love him. Hate the way his character is being portrayed. You understand what I mean.
Mm-hmm. No, he should be a lot larger than life than what he's doing. So, yeah, I agree with you there. And that's why I think they'll go ahead and move the belt to Kendrick and let TJ grow a little more into his character.
Okay.
To be honest, this is an interesting match. I could see it going either way. And especially with it being, well... If I'm not mistaken, both of their, or well, actually for Kendrick, this is his first ever one-on-one contest as a singles competitor in WWE history.
Yeah, he's always been
on pay-per-view.
He's always been with London or
London or the Brian Kendrick, where he only had that one big thing, which was that championship scramble.
I was going to say Unforgiven 08.
But that was a one-on-one.
Yeah, I know.
This is the first single, his first ever singles match. To be honest, I'm not going to pull the trigger. I'm going TJP.
That's fine.
Verm?
Yeah, I'm going to go with TJ Perkins as well.
Okay. Now to what they start considering the triple main event.
Bullshit.
Yeah, right.
Put the button, please.
Bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
That's WCW crap. Anyway.
Yeah. This is no triple main event unless you put a certain match on last. You're more or less screwing everything up. Or are they going to try the shenanigans they did last time? Putting the main title first and then everything else after.
Potentially.
All right.
Now, the proper way to do this is U.S. title curtain jerk. 9 o'clock main as the world title, universal title, and then main event for the women.
Yeah.
U.S. title will be the U.S. title will be the first match of the card.
Yeah. Well, outside of the six-man opener.
Well, shit. That might mess with my wild card.
It might, but I doubt it. Sasha Banks,
okay.
Charlotte Flair, who wins?
The fans.
You're not going to put it last in the pick'ems?
Sorry, it's how I usually do it, and I have that sneaking suspicion that that Bucky Bucktooth be their mother will not. God.
I will say Sasha keeps the title.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And to be honest, yeah, Sasha keeps the title here.
Sasha retains. It's, Charlotte will be remembered for being, one of the first women in Hell in a Cell with Sasha, and that should be enough.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Verm, Shane?
Yeah, I'll say Sasha.
Yeah, make it a sweep.
Okay. Now to the U.S. title match. Roman Reigns versus Rusev. Who wins?
Wild card.
Go for it.
They're the ones that are going to break the cage.
Okay.
It's a power match. They're going to break the cage. Roman is going to retain. But yeah, they're breaking the cell.
Okay, I'm gonna do a crazy wild card just because I can't really think of anything to do with a wild card for Rollins and Owens.
Oh, I have one. Oh, I have
one. Here we go.
Okay.
Wild card is gonna be this match is going to be a draw.
Whoa!
Due to the fact that Braun Strowman's going to come out, rip the cage door off, and beat the crap out of both men.
Wow!
Auto win.
That, yes.
Because he said, Mick, give me proper competition or I'll come looking for it. He's going to come looking for it.
That's a great call. That's a fantastic one.
Just a note, I'm going to put that down as a no contest because that pretty much is what it is. The contest was killed because Strowman decided to come in and go, fuck you.
That's a good way to put it.
Auto. Okay, there we go. As for me, No. Come back to me.
Okay. Who else hasn't picked?
That would be me. And I'm gonna say the Roman Reigns punishment continues. Rusev wins, takes the title clean.
I have to agree here. I'm going with Rusev.
And Nikki, you're not alone on this island. I'm coming with you.
Thank you.
I honestly believe that the punishment train is over already, even though he screwed up horribly.
I'm sorry. How many more shit sandwiches were they going to feed him? They punished him for 2 straight months.
As many as Triple H got?
Triple H got punished for a fucking year.
Yeah. He got nuked for an entire year, was forced to just more or less hang around the IC title match scene until mid-97.
Yeah, and then they let him win King of the Ring.
Yeah. But it did help him in the long run. Generation X got it.
Yep.
Yeah, it's not like Roman Reigns like popped pills in front of fans, whereas Triple H just went out in front of a whole group of whole stadium of people and goes, yep, we just hug it out, guys, hug it out.
Yeah, see this is the thing. Roman Reigns got caught on a wellness violation that we never got all the details on. Triple H murdered kayfabe in front of 20,000 fans.
He's the reason Vince had to pump the brakes and go, all right, sports entertainment. Fuck you all, we're sports entertainment.
Hunter Meade opened the curtain and Vince probably is still mad.
Oh, you bet your ass. Excuse me. Vince doesn't hold a grudge, does he?
Vince, grudge.
Really? Yeah, well, Vince, I hate to take words out of somebody else's mouth, but...
Bullshit!
Anyway.
And I will never get a soundbite.
Somebody's got to record your pretty lights thing, because we need that.
Yeah. How many times have I asked this and nobody's ever done it?
We gotta get Jim back first.
Yeah.
Alright, but...
Now... To the main event of the... Or what I would probably consider the main event of the evening. For the WWE... Is it the Universal or is it... Yes, the Universal title. In the cage. Owens. Rollins. Who wins?
Wild card.
And I, Jason, I think I know where our wild cards are going.
Okay.
You just made the list.
Thank you.
Yep.
Exactly.
Oh, I thought you said that just because we're still... Go ahead.
Jason, is yours Jericho special ref?
No. No.
Okay. No. Go for it. Mine is.
Well, that's fine. It's Jericho... is going to legitimately help Kevin Owens win the title. The next, I'm just saying that fits in some way. Now, this is not a continuation thing. I'm just going to say that's going to set up Kevin Owens still being pissed at Jericho for this, and eventually setting up the Survivor Series blow up, and then the roadblock, match.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, Jericho will help Owens win the title in some way. Because he's his best friend.
Yeah. And best friends still help each other. I absolutely am in agreement.
Speaking of best friends, since I've already played my wild card, I think we're going to have an Evil Doc sighting on Sunday.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay.
Ooh.
Finally bringing him back. About time.
Well, they got to continue. They've got to have a little more build towards the eventual Rollins Triple H collision and WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, is going to show up.
Okay.
But I've already played my wild card, so.
I figured it'd just be like Rollins trying to get in the Royal Rumble match and Triple H screwing him in there.
Triple H will eliminate Rollins in the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Rollins is going to take out Jericho. He's going to be that close to getting the pin on Kevin Owens, and suddenly, bomb! Then comes the Motorhead, then comes Trips. Rollins gets distracted, into the pop-up powerbomb, 1, 2, 3, Rollins loses.
Yep.
Oh, God, I thought you were going a different direction when you said bong part. I'm like, what the hell, you think Taker's coming back?
No, not yet.
No, I would say
he looks good, though.
I would say gong. I say
he brought his black wig back out of retirement, but
the Mohawk's cool, but it's just not him. Everybody's used to the long hair, so who else needs to pick? Anyone?
Okay, so Nikki, you picked Owens or Rollins?
I did. I picked Owens because I honestly think that Hunter is going to be involved somehow, but okay. Since I've played my wild card.
All right. And Verm, Shane?
Yeah, I'm Owens.
Owens.
Man, that's a sweep there, too. Man, this is going to come down to a few succinct or a few select matches. Hold on. What did I miss on yours, Nikki? Oh, that's what I missed. Okay.
What'd you miss?
I didn't miss anything per se. I just haven't redone the formulas.
Quote, you're cooking unquote, the books right in front of me, man? Really?
Hold on. Did I
cook the books again?
I don't care. I'm sending an email right now to WWE and just saying to do the whole Braun Strowman thing. Auto win.
BRM, are you gonna let Statboy sit there and cook the books in front of us?
There's a reason we are called the committee, Josh.
Yeah, and there's also a reason why, while I didn't do it this time, I know where the muffin button is.
No. Don't you
and
fucking
I will essentially embed your computer so many muffins, Verm, that you're going to take 5 years just to clean it out. I'll leave Nikki's alone. Because Nikki pays me that no money to do it correctly. Woohoo! And that was a voice crack, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. You realize that after the last incident, I had the muffin button uninstalled. Right.
Right. You know I have a physical one. And it's in my possession. And I know how to reinstall it. Remember, I have a degree in this type of thing.
Yeah, I'm going to slow all, both your rolls.
Ladies.
Get my rope.
ladies and gentlemen, at WrestleMania 33, we've got VRM versus Josh Henniger. Set it up.
I'd pay $10 for that.
Battle of the Super Nerds.
Actually, both of you send a picture to Waters and he'll sim it in 2K17 for you.
That's actually a good idea, Verm.
I dare you. So, is that everything, Statboy?
Yeah. That's why. Damn it. I'll send it to the wrong Chris Waters. There we go. Okay. Yeah, that's everything.
Excellent. Now, I gotta look at something here. Gentlemen, just for the record, there is a good chance that I am not going to see it live.
Nor will I. I'll be at work doing the layaway stuff.
Well, I've got 2 12-hour days coming up, so.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you. But before we call it an evening, Shane, you usually don't have anything to promote, but I ask anyway.
Nope, I'm getting my NXT tickets this week, so yes.
Yay. Yes.
And I still keep my promise. We're going to be having an NAWC of NAWC Strong Style is here.
Yay!
Yay!
Oh, you mean,
Yay!
be even better if I could get Bobby Roode with NAWC just became glorious.
If you get a short video with Glorious playing in the background, you win the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I'll try my best.
VRM, you don't normally have anything to promote, but I ask anyway.
No, I don't have anything coming up. Nope.
Stat boy?
Surprise, motherfucker!
You scare me already.
I do.
Cool.
Next weekend, ladies and gentlemen, I will not be in Ohio for the first time in some time.
Where are you going?
I'm headed to Detroit. YomaCon is coming.
Ooh.
I will be at the Cobo Center in Renaissance Hall from Wednesday, or this coming Wednesday, to next Monday.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I'm headed up there just to enjoy myself with a few of my friends.
Good for you.
Just keep a close eye on your wallet.
Yeah, you're not kidding. It is Detroit. I mean, the good is we're going to be in heavily populated areas. The bad, we're going to be in heavily populated areas. And my wallet never leaves my front pocket.
And the ugly, you're going to see so much crap that you want to buy.
And I will be able to.
No shit.
Yeah. Thank you, Grandpa's Farm.
Well, you can bring us all something then. Silence.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm talking to CM Waters about getting that thing set up.
Oh, okay.
Now the real question is, who does he favor more, VRM or Josh?
Depends on which one of them lets him win. So, okay, with all that out of the way, Jason.
I'll make it quick and I'll make it easy. BS Big Show will be back on Tuesday. Talking about, we're almost at the mid-season mark, believe it or not. Six teams are on bye. Your team is doing pretty good. We'll talk about that. World Series is going on as we speak, and we got a barn burner. Cleveland is up 2-1 as we speak. And we don't know if it's going 7, but we had the World Series preview edition. DC was there. Brian was there. Ian was there. I don't know, VRM. I don't know if you were there or not. I don't think so.
No.
I know I wasn't, because I would have debated whether it's better money to go 7 games and have Cleveland continue to ride their tide or have the Cubs break their curse.
Speaking of which, Cleveland wins tonight 2-1. I mean, 1-0.
They're up
with the fifth ever postseason shutout.
Yep. Pixel Nation will be back. We'll be talking about the Switch. Ton of new games coming out this week. A new Switch conference will be happening in January. We'll find out the price and the release, you know, more release stuff, more specs, all that good stuff.
And to be honest though, I've already heard rumors about them.
Oh, what do you got? Very quickly.
If I'm not mistaken, main screen or the main system, 1080p60, much like the Wii U. The handheld, 900p60. And the price, $299 base, $399 with some sort of bundle.
Not bad.
That's not horrible.
Yeah.
Not bad. Let's see. We still got the voice actor strike. Of course, we've got... we are actually, I think... Ethan and I are actually going to live cap the interesting events of next Tuesday. We shall see how that goes, if you know what I mean.
Oh, right. Sorry. Brain
not,
high.
Not the first, the eighth.
Yeah.
You know, we will see how that
Let's go, booked. Vermin Supreme!
Let's see how that gets booked, if you know what I mean.
yeah. Thank you for reminding me. I'm gonna go ask my current boss about Riot gear. Okay.
Yeah. yes. Exactly. You might need it, depending on. Yeah. Exactly.
No. Trust me. This is gonna be a mess anyway, because the voting station that I'm at is going to be at a high school. So. For some reason, I think all I can see is that I walk in there. While we got everybody in line, somebody's going to pull the fire alarm. Anyway.
Well, all I know is that you can listen to every program here on SpectrumOne.net, Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, Apple iTunes, Google Play Music, Overcast, pretty much anything and everywhere. You can do that. Oh, and of course, WLTI, a couple of other programs I forgot. I wasn't there, but there's a new episode up there. And of course, the panel with Gordon Pepper talking about the Underground Bowling Association. So there you go. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, WLTI, and We Love to Interrupt, is actually starting its 15th year.
Holy crap!
Dang!
As a game show, reality show, criticism in both print and podcast form. Print started in 2002, so we are starting our 15th year. So, insane. We've been doing this for 15 years. And, and as a matter of fact, I'm actually also working on an interview with a major casting director who is going to give you the ins and outs of what to do to get on a game show. So, it's kind of cool. So, I actually met with her yesterday.
Awesome.
So, yes, as sort of a last-minute thing. So, working for there. So,
For me, as usual, paper review. Chris Waters and I have been trying to get our schedules to sync up to do a paper review. Unfortunately, during his recent vacation, we were unable to make said connection. And he's a little under the weather right now, so there's probably not going to be anything over this weekend. For myself, I had a blast at Raw. If you ever get an opportunity to get a Skybox, do it at least once for the experience. But if you want to come home with good pictures, spend the money and get a seat closer to the ring. Just saying. If you can put up with the rest of the bullshit crowds, you're good. Skyboxes are for guys like our non-wrestling fan guy. So for VRM, for Stat Boy, for Bad News Beeman, for Jason Block, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. I do apologize for my extended absence. It's all going to work out in the end. But please, do come back, even if I'm not here, because they still have fun. And we just need more people to show up. So till next week.
Stay pony, my friends.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.